Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Please, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, but do you have rights? I mean, they say you do, but the only rights you got are the ones you're able to defend. If you're not defending them, you don't got them. You know, just ask Canada. How many people had their, we got rights, yeah? Were you able to do them? Well, if you're not doing them, then you don't got them. So I'm wondering, you know, what do you think the future is, Sparta? The Canadian government, their response, is it just a small group? Is it an ideology that's taken over? Is it just a dictator Trudeau? Is it, you know, what are you up against? What do you think that the world is up against? I mean, it seems worldwide. You know, what is it we're up against?
Fourth Industrial Revolution. And that's what Klaus Schwab calls it. And the World Economic Forum. So I think we're up against a big beast. So...
Is it a blood-dripping, fang, pointy tail, pointy horn beast?
Nothing the Spartans can't handle, though, right?
Bring it!
So everyone's got a Spartan in them, and you just got to feed that Spartan in you. And
you would think, you know, there's kind of there's two wolves in everyone.
That's right.
And the one that you feed the most wins kind of
thing. Absolutely.
And so a lot of this opposition creates more confidence, more opposition, which I think... is what they know. They got to squash that bug. I'm afraid, you know, being a, you know, having some Scottish Irish descent kind of thing, they're just going to check DNA. Oh, a little too much William Wallace. He's got some William Wallace in him. We're going to nip that in the bud. We're going to abort that guy. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just some AI is going to take all this data that we give, all of our genetics, all of our social media, and they're just going to preemptively. And matter of fact, I think about it. That's what Captain America Winter Soldier was all about. Hydra gets this database of algorithm, and they just, and these 30 million people are killed, and we're all got compliers now. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They go, no, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong, you know. So they have outed so many people. Sparta, you probably weren't on the list. Now you're on top of the list, which is a lot of times safer there, but... it's not like you didn't go noticed. And there are other people that have gone noticed. You know, the trucker convoy, they went after them. What happened to them? The fines against them, the bank closures against them, is that reversed or are they still living under the pain of that?
Some people are still living under the pain. There are still people in jail. You know, we had Tamara Litch, one of the presumed organizers of the Freedom Convoy, right? She did a great podcast with Jordan Peterson, actually. So I encourage everybody to go out to listen to that latest one.
And what's her name?
Tamara Litch. So Tamara, L-I-C-H. First Nation, half First Nation. She's a Métis woman, a grandma, right? Public enemy number one is what the government tried to label her as, right?
Wow.
So as a police officer, we understand the catch and release program, right? So I arrest people, recidivists, constantly, you know, drug addicts, they're breaking into homes. It's a revolving door, right? Constantly of catch and release, right? Nobody goes to jail in Canada. But they made sure these Freedom Convoy organizers went to jail, make an example of them, right? The other sad thing is like putting the, you know, the administration of justice in disrepute, like by, you know, she had a bail hearing. Tamara Litch was arrested during the Freedom Convoy, right? For public mischief. Like, what kind of a charge is that? A public, and it wasn't even, I think it was something to inciting, you know, like just the charges that she was facing
it
were just
matter.
Like
it's non-compliance.
Ridiculous charges, though. You don't go to jail for something like that. People don't even go to jail for murder in Canada, right? Like they if you have enough money, whatever, they set a bail. A murderer gets out on bail in Canada, right? So she was denied bail, and the justice that actually listened to her bail hearing was affiliated to the Liberal Party. So that puts the administration of justice, you know, in question. It's like, okay, what are we up against now? If we have all these Liberal appointed judges and we don't have a fair adversary justice system, right? It's one-sided. We need a balance, right?
What conditions would it take in this environment and what you've discovered that you would come back? I mean, they've offered you to come back, haven't they?
Yes.
Do you have to get vaccinated to come back?
No, you do not have to be vaccinated.
So they go, Sparta, all's forgiven. Come on back. We need you. It's all good. And you would go back under what conditions? I mean.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, your moral compass doesn't no longer points to this job anymore. But then you look at it the other way. You know, I'm praying right now for the answers. And it's like, we need police officers that are going to stand for what's right, what's truly right.
But that be welcome. You're back, but you're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to instigate. You're not allowed to talk.
So I was actually suspended. And this is what your listeners don't know is I was actually served papers in a harsh manner. Like I had police officers show up at my door, right? My neighbors were all like a small community. Everybody knows. This corporal that serves me, nice guy. Like, we had this discussion. I'm like, you know, I was very defensive. I'm like, why are you coming to my house? Number one, you don't, and I didn't know him, right? I didn't know him. So they make like the new guy to do the dirty work, right? I said, where's the NCO? Where's the NCO? Why isn't he doing the guy, you know, in charge of the detachment? Why isn't he, that he knows me? Why doesn't he come and face me and serve me these documents? And it's basically, you're suspended. You're suspended for speaking out. And it's like, but for
what
speaking out.
What difference does it make? You weren't paying me.
Yeah. Like, but, and then when I ask for the evidence, right? When there's allegations, you have to provide evidence.
It has to have tainted your soul a little bit. I mean, you got to see it from, you know, people in the field that resist based on a principle, based on common sense, based on use some discretion, don't be an automaton cop kind of thing. And we had a thing that we did a lot in like the mid-2000s for at least a decade. It was called copblock.org. And it was where people that set this up, a couple of activists that we worked with and sponsored and different things, they presented so much video evidence because people started having videos on their cameras when the iPhones, smartphones started coming out. And you would say, oh, the cops are bad. They planted this. They did that. The things that they say, your rights don't matter. I don't care. Da, da, da. And they're going, no, that would never happen. That would never happen. And in Cop Block, it became so obvious. It was so overwhelming, the evidence that people, yes, this does happen way more regularly than people realized. When it happens to you, when this mentality, this attitude, this disdain, you're not in their club anymore, you're a criminal, and this is how we get over it, that had to have soured something.
Yeah, it did. Moral injury, right? It's a moral injury. And it's like, you know you did the right thing, and you're on the right side of history. So all that's all that matters to me. That's how I overcome, you know, the feeling of I was let down, I was abandoned, right? I really truly feel these emotions. I feel like my family let me down. And I'm not talking my blood family. My blood family, I can actually go, you know what? I don't choose those people. But the blue line, like, we choose each other. Like, it's like we're, you know, and they turned, you know, we turned on each other. For what? For just not you know, not just having different views on this pandemic response, right? Like, it's sad to see that.
What do you think it is? You made him feel self-conscious, guilty, weak. I mean, you got a strong individual comes up. I wonder, being a woman, did that play into it at all? Did you challenge their masculinity by standing up against oppression kind of thing? Did that piss them off? Is that a little extra?
I don't know. I try not to use that gender thing, man, woman thing, because not because I don't know what a woman is. I do know what a woman is. But I believe that we're on equal playing fields. And the thing is, we give a lot of power to this whole suppression of women. And I'm actually, I really advocate on men's rights, to be honest with you. And the reason I say that, you might say, well, what do you mean you're advocating on men's rights? Even in the police world, I see a lot of injustices to the male right now, right? Like the whole, you know, court system, civil family law, right? It's just not fair, right? Because somebody is a male, right? They're always the oppressor.
Guilty.
Yeah, and so, you know, I've charged, you know, I've gone to a scene where it's like, yeah, sure, they attacked each other, a man and a woman in a couple in a domestic dispute. But it's clear to me that, let's say, in this situation, the woman was the aggressor. She may have been 80 pounds and he was 250.
But you only take so many frying pans to the head, you know?
Yeah, and so, you know, there's this mentality even in, you know, police world. Oh, you know what? He can handle it. He's a big guy. He doesn't want to press charges. But if it was reversed, would you say that? Would you say, oh, when you're supposed to, you know, the legislation's pretty clear. Like, okay, you find out, you investigate domestic violence. We don't tolerate domestic violence of any kind, right? Man on woman, woman on man, whatever. So find out, you're an investigator. Find out the evidence, find out who the aggressor is, and arrest them, right? So some police officers do, like, these dual charges where they arrest both of them, or those go nowhere. So it's basically you're just kind of going, okay, we got to separate these people. We're going to just charge them both. But you're an investigator. Figure it out. You'll know. You know, guy's bleeding profusely, maybe some teeth knocked out, and she's got some scratches on her, you know, knuckles or something. Come on, right? And like, figure it out.
Well, I'm glad you have that attitude, but that just belies how different you are than the indoctrination of a lot of people. And I keep coming back to the why. You know, why do you have this moral sense? Why do you have these critical thinking skills? Why did you not delegate your thinking to the higher authority of, I got a shiny badge and somebody voted for me? That is a secret sauce that I'm looking for. And where does it come from? Is it, strong parents? Is it read the right book? You know, is it, you go to the right church? Is it genetic? You see my point? You know, if you could bottle whatever it was that gave you this position, wouldn't you share that? I mean, you need to have this notion and potion here, man. You know, because what the heck?
Yeah, I guess thank you for your, for your
observing
great,
it.
Yeah, but it's there's many people that have it. I think everyone has this in them. It's just like the First Nations saying, right? Which wolf are you going to feed? So you really have to feed, like, it's courage is to stand up, right? Courage. Once you speak out once, you're free. You're free.
It gets easier.
Like, it gets easier, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, sure, there will be consequences. They're going to make an example of you. But I just think about the next generations, right? Because I try to be mindful, right? Like, I think about my kids, right? My kids are adults. Like, if I was to have grandkids, oh yeah, we didn't agree with what was going on, but no one did anything about it, right? So it's like, I have, you know, like,
history has a slew of massacres with that attitude.
Yeah, you have to.
Let's talk about self-defense. You know, that is a unique, as we got through what happened in the Commonwealth, I mean, the Crown seems to have a thing, you know, Australia, New Zealand, you know, Canada, the UK, you know, certainly Europe. And I'm the one thing that it keeps coming up, yeah, but you guys, America, you have a Second Amendment, you know. That you ultimately can, you know, really say no. And I wonder if it's that or it's the mental responsibility or attitude that comes with that capability. It's not like you got a bunch of anti-vaxxers, anti-government patriots out blazing away, laying waste to government. They tried to make it seem like that with this January 6th thing. They were like, oh my goodness. And I went through my deal. I did an interview like that, you know, some people that were there live on that day in Arizona. And the FBI, eventually the DOJ subpoenaed me last December. I went to Washington. But they wanted me to certify a show, just like we're doing here. They wanted me to certify so they could use it in criminal trial. And I refused to do it because I was on it. I'm going, Fifth Amendment, I'm not doing it. No, you have to because you have to because you have to. Well, you have to explain it to me on the stand. Let's do it. And then eventually they didn't call me. They just said, never mind, you can go home. And I'm like, but they press you right up to, I mean, it was like 3 court dates, hearings I had to go, bugging you for a year. I go, what part don't you guys get? I'm going all Sparta on them. You know, I'm like, this is what's going to happen. We don't got to be all, you know, mad at each other. This is what's going to happen. Let's go through the process. And it was that noncompliance just pisses them off. And they'll want to get some. But fortunately, I have a voice and, you know, I can, and known enough that, you know, they know how I operate. But it's the influence, hopefully, you have on the next podcast or the next radio voice. The young guys coming up got their YouTube channel. They just immediately comply or something. Because what you're doing is you're setting a standard for your brothers and sisters in arms or, you know, the blue line. And do you think you've had an impact on there'll be more next time? Or they're seeing how hard it was on people such as you that did this, and they're not going to, more likely not to comply, more likely to comply. What do you think?
I want to believe that they won't comply. And I think more people are realizing, like I said, there's more and more people waking up, and we're strong in numbers, right? So if we just all said no, police would have shut this whole mess up. Like, it would have been a no-go. So I really, you know, I'm concerned about the future of policing. You know, what's during COVID, you know, who was willing to become a police officer? Nobody wants to do his job anymore, right?
Yeah.
The job itself has, you know, they don't tell you, you know, the deepest, darkest secrets of police services, right? Like suicides of police officers, because they're no longer a police officer. They might not be active police officers, so when they retire, a lot of police officers commit suicide, right? Because of PTSD, right? We don't, they've come a long way, like policing, you know, they talk about wellness of before it's like PTSD, you don't talk about it, right? Like 40, 50 years ago, members just, you know, suck it up, princess, just go do your job, right? And in your head, you know, you got demons, right, from the stuff that you've seen, right? Dead people. I mean, you see dead people on a regular basis. That's probably not really good for your head, right? Mm. So the job itself changes you. Like my family says, you're not the same person anymore, right? And then you had these last 3 years. It's just like, we didn't need that. We have enough to deal with as law enforcement, right? We're the first to go into something, right? We hear shots fired. People are running from shots fired. We run into it, right? And I'm not saying, oh, you know, we do everything right. We're people. We make mistakes. But it's to be accountable for those mistakes.
Well, what was your biggest concern? You know, was it like, it seems to me that the camaraderie that you thought you had, you know, the you got your membership card, you know, you're like, you know, I'm in, and then you weren't, and that seems to have bothered you.
Of course, I've been saying I was going to be a police officer since I was 4 years old, and my parents said that's all you talked about. And
do you want to go back?
A part of me does. A part of me wants to go back and just, you know, encourage my brothers and sisters of the blue to continue to stand up.
Do you think they would fire you for another reason? They'd set you up. Welcome back. You're on your way out. We're going to document you out for something else now.
They might, but it's like, it's a risk I have to take. Like, you know, part of me just says, like, I just, some days I just go, I don't even want to deal with this, right? Forget it. I'm just going to pull the plug. But then there's this part of me, and I feel like it's a calling, right? Like, it's, there's something.
You're a strong woman. You know, and I hate to say, you know, like, qualify that as a strong woman, you know, as if it's kind of like, you know, the new movie lead. Strong woman that can kick everybody out, bench press, Captain America, you know, all this kind of crap that they do. But to have a strong human being, this is the one thing that I really emphasize a lot, is that the highest attainment in some cultures is just to be completely human, whatever their culture that means. And you would think that it would mean, you know, love, compassion, tolerance, wisdom, sense of justice, you know, to be a full human, a best representative, alien from Alpha Sin, whatever the hell comes down and, you know, it's a take me to your leader and you go, yeah, I'm it. You know, I rule me. You know, you my leader is me, you know, that kind of thing. And have that confidence to be able to represent yourself and you know, your fellow human beings and have you're confident in the stances that you take. You're confident in, you know, that you're being reasonable. And when you're up against unreasonableness, that you can challenge it. And it just seems to me that there is so many vectors in society from everywhere that are trying to beat that out. And what has happened is when they do that, the example such as yourself that stands up, it's an example. And you create martyrs, you create somebody who wouldn't go to the back of the bus. I mean, you create all of these examples that people rally around, and it's like you can never squash that out, no matter how much you try. It's like if we killed these 5,000 terrorists, domestic terrorists, then we'd all be fine. Well, all you did is piss off 50,000 more people, you know. So it's just when we come back, I want to, you know, the final segment, I want to get to where, what are we creating for the future? What's going to happen? You know, who's going to inherit the earth? Who's going to inherit general public opinion? Who's going to be the heroes? Who?
These men, they're not the sort we need.
They're exactly the sort we need. They fought this kind of war before.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. While the feds and the state of Texas are set to spar in federal court over the legality of a floating barrier in the Rio Grande River, Senator Ted Cruz is leading a bipartisan group of lawmakers pushing to expand the number of truck bridges going across the southern border into Texas. Cruz said it would actually be good for the environment.
You can see on any given day over 10,000 18-wheelers sitting, waiting to cross this bridge, spewing pollution into the air.
The Republicans joined by Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar, who promised to get get the bridges built by the end of the year. Wall Street closing higher to kick off a busy week for corporate earnings. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose more than 180 points to log its longest winning streak since February 2017. Investors are anticipating earnings results for a slew of major companies and the Fed's decision on interest rates this week. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 183 points. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live network on Genesis. What we're going to be doing in this final segment, we got a good idea of the trials and tribulations that Sparta has gone through in her experiences being a Royal Canadian Mounted Police, something she wanted to do since she first remembers when you're very, very young. I want to be a police officer. So this is now we're getting into, I still want to ask and drill down a little bit on your person of faith that has something to do with it. You were brought up. You got some Greek heritage in you. You got the Spartan history kind of, you know, indoctrinated at an earlier age, I would imagine. And I'd still want you to describe for the audience the character traits. And this is almost like we're training the man. You know, we're going, all right, man, you know, Statenist, you know, listen to this. This is what you're up against. This is what you got to worry about. This is what, you know, we're teaching our children. This is how we think differently. This is the book we read. This is the movie that impacted us. Can you give that, these traits, what was reinforced in your home as you're growing up, that, you know, you were in, brought up in Canada. You went through the Canadian education system. Didn't they, you know, beat politeness into your skull that you got to comply because, damn it, we're Canadian? I mean, you know, what was it that you think is the one secret sauce that parents and grandparents would want to instill? Is it a piece of history? Is it a certain perspective or understanding? What do you think it is?
Yeah, good question. So I believe it's my upbringing. So my godmother raised me, and she was a woman of faith, a strong faith. And so she instilled, she was actually very, I'm very much like her, even though she's not my biological mom. She's my godmother, and she raised me. And so she's been a fighter her whole life. She stood up, you know, for Christianity her whole life. I've watched her. She was like the head of the association of the Greek church, charitable, a big heart, you know, humanitarian, But she also taught me to never, never bow down to anything that doesn't feel right in my heart, right? So that whether that's, you know, like, I think it's God, my faith. That's what kept me.
Well, give me an example of something happened as an example that they, no, you don't bow, no, you stand up to the bullies, no, you do this, you do that, you do it, you get positive reinforcement back from that. They see you as an example of what, I mean, can you give me an example at a young age?
You know, she just didn't, she wasn't afraid. Like, she's like, you know, she did it diplomatically. She was, you know, a well-educated, well, you know, articulated woman.
She had her line in the sand.
Yeah, exactly. And she just told me, you just, if it feels wrong in your heart, you need to do something about it. You don't just, because she goes, the consequences of not speaking out, it's like a cancer. It'll eat you up. So that's,
See, it's always, you know, that's one thing. As I had these conversations, it always, one was really difficult. She's like, yeah, well, I just, you know, and she was probably about your age. And at the end of the conversation, towards the end, she finally goes, yeah, my brother gave me these books, and, you know, like Ayn Rand books. And I'm going, seriously, you know, you didn't think that had an impact, you know? And she's going, yeah, I think that was probably the time. I'm going, oh, my goodness, you know, you got to draw this out, you try and remember a time. But now you're... Before we finish, I wanted to make sure we get a little bit about the organizations you're associated with. Did you start them, you know, or you're a participant in Freedom for This and Police Officers of, and kind of what are these organizations that you belong to?
Yeah, so I didn't start them. I just kind of like, they were just kind of starting to grow, and I got involved in these organizations, right? So it's like basically support groups. And I wanted to mention as well here, just my lawyer probably would have wanted me to say this, that, you know, the views expressed here are solely my views and not of any police service or Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I have to just clarify.
No,
that.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
So what's the name of these organizations that you're associated with?
I'm involved with Police for Freedom. So it's an international movement that started Policías por la Veridad in Spain, where it's actually, I'm not sure her rank, a police officer, I believe she was a sergeant. You know, they were at a protest somewhere in Spain, and they were told to arrest people, to go against the people that were protesting mandates and lockdowns. And so she said, no, I stand with the people. And basically her crew, everybody just stood together, united. She said, this is our oath is to uphold the Constitution, right? Like, to serve and protect citizens, right? So that's what she did. And she formed this this organization. And then I actually got involved with a retired OPP member, Vince Gerses. So I contacted him because
OPP,
I saw.
What's that?
Ontario Provincial Police. Right. So he's a retired investigator. He was a collision analyst. Like he had like 25 years or something of service in the OPP, right? So poor guy, he's been arrested several times for speaking out, you know, not complying with mandates, you know, being at places where, you know, having speeches and stuff during lockdowns. So I reached out to him because I watched an interview on him on something. I don't know, it was like a mandate protest or something. So I emailed him, and he said, hey, we need people to grow our organization or whatever. So he said, we don't have anybody in BC. I said, okay, I'll do it.
Gave you a soapbox. Boom.
Yeah.
How vocal
so we're
are
just,
you?
Not... as much as I'd like to be.
Well, how do you express your opinion in these organizations? I mean, are you at the soapbox downtown whenever there's an opportunity of, you know, doing it? Or are you a keyboard warrior? Or you got, you know, involvement in comment section of? I mean,
yeah, so,
how do you express yourself?
Yeah, so I was involved in a lot of the protests. Like, so I would go to the rallies. So I was, you know, kind of very active in the rallies, and then, you know, doing Zooms with people, right? All sorts of things. Like, we were trying to figure out how do we... I contacted... So being a sheriff for 13 years, working in the court system of British Columbia, I had a lot of contacts, a lot of contacts for lawyers. So when all this, you know, hit us. I was like, okay, we're going to hit this. This is unconstitutional. We're going to take this to court. We're going to win. So I contacted every lawyer in my phone that I could think of. Contacted every single person. I hadn't spoken to these people in years. Oh, it's so great to hear from you. Yeah, we need help. We need to, like, start some kind of, even an injunction, something to stop this right now, to put a temporary hold, you know, because this is not safe, what they're doing. They're, you know, forcing these vaccines on people. People are losing their livelihood, all sorts of things, right? It's dividing the people. Don't ever contact me about this. So this is where it started to get really frightening.
Weird.
Right? Like, it was like, okay, nobody wants to speak out. I contacted provincial court judges that were retired to ask them for their advice. Like, somebody that I confined in, somebody that, you know, 13 years of being a sheriff, like, I drove this judge around, right, in circuit courts. I sat in his chambers, like, Madam Sheriff, come have a coffee with me. Let's talk, right? How was your day? Like, retired judge. It's like, don't do this. Just, you know, don't worry about this. Like, this is way bigger
than
you.
What did they think it was bigger from what? What were they afraid of? What? Just fear for fear's sake, because I'm supposed to be afraid. What were they thinking was going to happen?
They said, you know, people get canceled or disappear that speak out. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, if I disappear, I disappear. Like, you know, you can't be scared of the what if, right? I just know what I have to do in my heart, in my soul. Like, there's a calling. So I'm going to do what I feel is right. I'm not hurting anybody.
Is that nature or nurture? Did that come from just the way you think your personality, your brain's wired? Or was it reinforced with, like, experiences with your grandmother or your mom or your godmother or whatever? I mean,
it's both.
Yeah,
it's both.
It's both.
It's got to be both.
It seems
I've often asked this question, right? Nature or nurture for a lot of things, even like criminality and working in the court system in the jails, right? I worked in jails and prisons, right? And I'd see the odd person that I'm like, okay, I think this person's a sociopath. There's a wiring issue, right? Like, this person, something genetically or whatever. And then most people are good people that have just chosen, you know, not the greatest path, right? But they're not bad people. They're just good people that did bad choices.
You know, when I was younger, they called it a criminal mind. You know, and then you kind of get into, you know, we started during the 16 election cycle. I remember doing shows, and psychopathic behavior came in. And, all right, define that. I hear that all the time. What the hell does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes down to they have no empathy, no conscience. They don't care. You know, I do this because I can get away with it. You know, crime doesn't pay my butt. Watch me. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. And they don't feel any remorse. And what attracts those kinds of people? Positions of power, politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even professions, lawyers. You know, kind of thing. I got a, you know, shiny tie and a shiny badge, and man, I'm double whip your ass. You know, I can see that you have to have the capability of compassion. And sometimes some people's, it's like 4% of the population just don't. They just don't because that's the way they're wired. They don't feel that they may have repercussions. They may have had a good grandma, don't do that, and they kind of follow the norm. But their default is not to walk in somebody else's shoes. Their default is not to see it from their point of view. Their default is not to have the interests of somebody else come before theirs on just to be polite, to, you know, have empathy. They just don't.
Then I question, why is it then that all these people were sold the lie of taking the vaccine for grandma, right? So it's like this.
Because they played on their empathy.
Yeah. So most of the population you're saying is empathic.
Yeah.
So you said 4%.
But the sociopaths, play on that.
Yeah.
They take advantage of that. They use that against us. We are victims of our own goodness. And at some point, you have the people that just wanted to be left alone,
mm-hmm.
the people that do see the threat to themselves, their community, their children, their grandchildren. Then once they rise up. You know, once that, and with people like you, that the tip of the spear that kind of breaks through that, that demonstrates it, that starts to show just how dangerous this is to their pursuit of happiness, their future, you know, being a parent, what responsibility they have to humanity not to comply. Once that tipping point happens, you get American revolutions. I mean, you know, that's what happens. And it's the reason why when they did the Constitution, it was like a decade after we had Articles of Confederation or whatever anyway. So the Declaration of Independence was really clear. Purpose of government, defense of individual rights. Doesn't do that. It's time to alter or abolish it. Your right, your duty. Boom. Okay, yeah. Sign me up. They do the Constitution how we're gonna rule you this way. But they're still going to rule me. You know, they want to rule me. But then they go, nah, we need this Bill of Rights thing. We need the 10 thou shalt not to government, because we can see the power you're going to rule. Well, you can't do this. First thing, freedom of conscience, to worship, to assemble, to petition, to, you know, redress a grievance. You know, this First Amendment speech thing, and of conscience, of, you know, your own
or
mind.
Being, yeah.
And then to protect that, let me think, what's the second? Oh, yeah. The ability to say, heck no, I got this here gun. And it's not the gun. It's not like a penis extension, you know. A lot of people that go, oh, you're just, you know, it's like your penis, you know. I'm going, no, it's not. It's a mindset of the capability to be able to resist. Wanting to resist and being capable are two different things. First, you have to have the capability. Then you make a decision whether you are or not. And to take away the capability, that's a Vulcan mind meld into how the state sees you. You know, so when people, it's amazing. You know, there's more guns than there are people in America. It's amazing there aren't more shootings. I mean, you know, it's just, and it's because of the goodness and the restraint of people. And then what you find, the people that are guilty of that, they got the criminal mindset. They don't have the empathy, or they've been taking too many government-mandated, school-prescribed drugs, you know?
Well, that's the interesting thing. So for me, you know, at some point they had said to me, okay, you know, my suspension got lifted. There was no why or anything. I wanted my kind of my hearing, right? I wanted, because I never did they ever ask me.
Make
first
say
of all,
it.
I never had the evidence, so I still don't know what I did wrong, right? I still don't know. They suspended me. They said, you spoke out against the government, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, what did I do? What was wrong about it, right? I'm exercising my charter rights and freedoms, freedom of expression. But we, you know, it's our right.
Well, what's your court challenge?
So so there's different court challenges. So there's several right now, right? So there's the federal lawsuit that's, you know, we're going after the federal government for the mandates, right, that they were unconstitutional, right? So they took away people's livelihoods, like you weren't able to travel, which is mobility rights, you know. Yeah, so there's several right now. And then unions, maybe some lawsuits are going to be towards unions, I'm not sure, right? Because the unions, they failed their fiduciary duty to the people, right? Even if there's they say small percentage of people that didn't want to take this, you should have still had a duty to accommodate with something. Like, you know, I know testing is still unconstitutional, but whatever, giving them some kind of exemption that they don't want to take that. Okay, fine. We're going to, if 80% of people are vaccinated, or 90% that they say, why do you care if the 10% aren't, right? But anyways, what I wanted to say was to get back to this whole, if I was to go back, right? So they told me my suspension's lifted, and then they said, but you have to comply to these conditions. So I comply to what conditions? I haven't done anything wrong. You still haven't told me what I've done wrong. There's no evidence, and I never had my day in here.
So it says on there, to come back, you got to comply with something.
Well, they wrote me a letter, yeah, saying basically it's a probationary. So part of that is I have to do re-education, social media retraining, all sorts of things, right? I have to probably take some course on the Freedom Convoy, you know, define what terrorist organization in Canada is. Things like that.
Wow.
Which, again, is like, you're not going to change who I am, right? My belief system is very strong.
They need you to come back to get your mind right and fire you if you don't.
I guess. I guess that's what it comes down to. Because, I mean, I don't see any other way. How do you go put somebody on a probationary conditions when they haven't been convicted of anything? Like, I haven't done anything wrong. I truly supported the people. That what police officers are supposed to do is support people, right?
See, I'm not a fan of asking the Crown right and wrong. You know what I mean? They're going to say whatever it is they want it to be. And is there a possibility you would go back, or do you think... yeah, they'd have to answer some questions first, or yeah, it seems weird. I don't know how you would go back and not be targeted or forced to comply.
That's right.
You know, they really want you to, because the same thing happened to my youngest daughter. She was up here visiting with her family and, just left before you came up. And, she worked at Honeywell Aerospace, you know, and they were same thing. You got to get vaccinated. Nope, nope, nope. Got to wear a mask. Nope, nope, nope. And they go, well, if you don't, and we're gonna, went on for a year. You know, mm-hmm. it's if you don't, we're gonna. She goes, look, my card's gonna work. You know, when I come into work on the thing, or it's not. When you guys go on, you just let me know. You know. Well, then finally they go, all right, well, this is your last day. Okay, it took you long enough. You know, and but now she's in the middle of a lawsuit because they denied religious exemption. You know, they did all kinds of, you know, pressure and this and that, saying they're not forced on. She didn't, you know, violate it. She did her job, high end, great employee, but she just wouldn't comply. So when they fired her, well, that gave her the perfect standing for these lawsuits. They contacted her, she goes, yeah, whatever, sign me up, mm-hmm. and then go do your stuff. Well, that comes down now. They're wanting to settle. I mean, you know, they're going to settle because Honeywell's military contractor and they comply and Zeke Heil, Click Heels, and all that stuff. So then it comes down, you know, well, you can come back if you got, you know, the same kind mm-hmm. of thing. No, you know, no, pay me, you know, this or not. I don't care. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And all my children. They didn't. They pulled their kids out of school and they started doing the mask mandates. They homeschooled, you know, our children until they went to private school and junior, senior high. We and I saw this indoctrination. You know, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. They ain't going to do it to them, whatever it is. They watch freaking Sesame Street probably back then, not now. But anyway, so we just could not comply with what they wanted for our family, for our country, for our fellow Americans. I mean, you know, hell, include Canada, the world. It's becoming the world.
Well, this is the thing, right? So we talk about, like, our faith, scripture, right? So people say, oh, you're a doomsday person because you're thinking of this as, like, you know, but we have never
like
had an event.
Like, you're not feeding into it.
But we've never had an event that's actually affected the whole globe all at once. Like, this is, you know, every country is going through this. It's not just U.S. or Canada. Or so that's where I'm thinking this is a lot bigger than we think.
Bigger.
This is, we're kind of maybe in the, not, I don't know about the final hour, but in end times. I don't know. No one knows that but God. But it's like now more than ever, you have to, you know, establish that trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior, and we have to find that relationship with Him. Find Jesus. If you don't know who Jesus is, find Him.
It gives you power. It gives you confidence. You know, there's, you know,
courage.
Eternity
yeah,
is
courage.
A long time. I mean, you want to go in with as clean a slate as you can, and then, you know, be forgiven for, you know, where you messed up. And it's a conscience thing.
Like, if it doesn't lead to God, don't do it. That's I like everything I do now. I ask, does this lead to God? That's just very simple. Putting it, does it lead to God?
I don't think you're going to make it as a Royal Canadian Mounted, you know?
But maintain le droit, right? Maintain order. God. Like, it's pretty simple. It's right there on my epaulette, my flash, right? Like, police uniform, right? Maintain le droit.
Yeah.
So
used to say, to serve and protect. They take that off now.
Yeah. Well, the crown, right? We were talking about the crown. So the crown, since the queen died, no longer has the cross. So I guess the king's crown doesn't have a cross anymore.
You know, that's another thing. Just to end this, I was thinking, you know, King Charles, he finally gets to be king. You know, is he going to be printed on the money? You know,
good
the queen on the money. He's not rushing to get his picture on the money because there's not going to be any.
Cashless.
Yeah, it's going to go cashless. No. You know, I'd have my picture on it if I was going to have it. It'll be a digital. I'll have my picture superimposed on your wallet, on your phone.
Yep.
You know, that's that kind of thing. This has been a great interview. Thanks for sharing with us so long. It's rare that you see people like you, but it's not uncommon. You know, I mean, it's not like they're not out there.
There's tons. But there are.
But they are the threat. You're inspirational. That is what they hate. But they, who are they, you conspirate? They, them, those. They're the ones not leaving me alone. That's who they are, you know. And it's really easy to identify bad guys. They just won't leave you alone, especially if you just want to be left alone. Well, Sparta's not going to, you know, leave them alone. So we'll be hearing more. Stay in touch.
Thank you very much to all your listeners, and thank you, Ernie, for having me on the show.
Yeah, no, this was fun. Thank you very much. Peace, guys.
God bless. Yes, my head.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.